It's time for your weekly dose of movie news, reviews, and the occasional rumor. Here's your host, Todd Vandenberg, Lee Vowell, and Rob Steele. This is Cinema Savants. And coming up in this week's show, The Avengers Infinity War, and The Quiet Place, and more Avengers, and stuff on Avatar, and more Avengers, and news on the new Star Trek movie, Zzz. Yes, that's plural. But first, we're going to start with the Avengers. Because, seriously, was there anything else this week? Actually, that's not true. We're going to start with one other quick thing, but it's Avengers-related. It comes from IMDb, which is a magnificent website if you need to know, you know, you're watching a movie and go, I know that guy, but where do I know him from? You can cross-reference things really easily. I love it. Did you know... IMDb had its own show. It's an online show, apparently. I was unaware of it.
I know they had a podcast, but I didn't know.
It could be a podcast. I don't know. I didn't pay that much attention to it. But I did watch because they said they had Avengers spoilers. And I thought, really? I suspect I'm going to know everything they mention in this show. And I did, so that's not the point. They ended the show
yes,
with a subscribe to our show online, and here's a screenshot of what our subscribe screen looks like. And on it, it had the rating for the IMDb show, which was 5.5 out of 10 stars. And I thought to myself, if you're going to put that on a screen, you may want to Photoshop it.
5.5. That's strange.
Or well, something.
They're being honest.
I know they're being honest, but that's not the point. If you're advertising that, you
how?
Because that's not the kind of thing I would, research. You know? I
wouldn't. Why? I'm just curious.
Why you didn't put it up?
What? Did you enjoy the show yourself?
Not particularly.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind. Maybe it deserves a 5.5. We're so sorry.
I would have gone with 3.2, but,
Out of 10.
Out of 10.
Okay, then. Well.
Yeah. I wasn't impressed.
I guess we won't be subscribing to their show.
It's not like they subscribe to ours.
I was going to say, there you go.
And you can't subscribe to our show on, iTunes or the Google Play Store or YouTube, because there's a YouTube version. Thankfully, it just doesn't show either of us.
But I'm usually in it, so,
Yeah. It's got a pretty intro. Kind of like the 10 years of Marvel movies leading up to... Is this the... I want to call it the fourth Avengers movie because of Civil War, but it's not. It's number three.
It's the third Avengers movie, yeah. Although, really, it's like the fourth and... Yeah.
I consider it the 21st movie in the Avengers series.
Pretty much.
Because it's not all of Marvel. The Fantastic Four isn't there. The X-Men aren't there.
It was leading up to it, though.
It was getting there. We'll get there eventually.
And you have to admit, 10 years is a pretty good intro for one movie.
That's a hell of an intro. I'm not sure I have seen longer. Nor have I seen one that made that much money. Holy cow.
Yeah, it's making some coin.
The top movies of 2018 so far, Black Panther, we knew that.
Yes.
Number two is A Quiet Place. Number three, Ready Player One. Number four, Peter Rabbit. People went to see that? Really? Great. And number five already is Infinity War.
Pretty crazy that in 3 1/3 days, because it did open on Thursday.
Right.
With two shows, that it is the fifth highest grossing film of the year. Apparently has a really good shot at beating Star Wars The Force Awakens, which is incredible because that's the all-time top domestic opener.
I saw where they, the record is $247.96 million, and the estimates right now are $247.1 for Infinity War.
And depends, because another site has estimates of $248, possibly $250. Yep. It did have the best Saturday ever.
What was it? 82
million. 82
million
in one day. One day. Most movies do not make $82 million in their entire release. Of course, most movies don't cost as much as this did.
Atlantic Rim.
don't have a 10-year buildup. Yeah, Atlantic Rim probably did not make $82.
No. Wow. And if you don't know what we're talking about, the old shows are available on iTunes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, in Infinity War, this is the culmination of where they were going, which makes me wonder where we're going after this.
Yes, because it's only part one of the culmination.
And part two, which they announced this week, Joe Anthony Russo said that part four is probably going to be longer than part three, which is, it's already the longest Marvel movie, isn't it?
I don't know, but probably. I do say we each did our research for the show differently. I saw the movie, yes, and Rob read the spoilers. So Rob knows as much about the movie as I do. I will tell you, yeah, it's a long movie.
My list of who died in the movie is actually just written in front of me as opposed to in Todd's head.
I think the running time is 2 hours, 36 minutes. I don't have it in front of me.
It
feels like it's maybe an hour and a half. I mean, it flies by. I mean, the pacing is excellent in this movie, which probably happens when you have, I don't know, what, 70 odd characters. Like I said, the pacing is excellent. Everybody gets their share of time. I mean, you know, in some ways, I wish there'd been more of whoever. But you're going to feel that way no matter, depending on who your favorite character is. So it's just, you're not going to get 45 minutes of Thor or 45 minutes of Black Widow or whoever, because there's not time. But everyone gets a great amount of screen time. Everyone has a set piece or two. It's extremely well done. I mean, it could have been, well, probably could not have been a train wreck, considering that these guys don't appear to be capable of doing that, the Russo brothers. But
it's not the DC animated movies. This is...
Yeah, exactly. Because this... Well, let's put it this way. I like Avengers Age of Ultron, but it's not a great movie.
It's not spectacular. I think it was disappointing.
Yeah, it was disappointing.
It wasn't as good as we wanted it to be.
Well, you know, the thing is, it is spectacular, and it's almost because it's too much spectacle, and there's not enough heart to it. And James Spader is terrific as Ultron, and he's just kind of wasted because the movie just... Ultron is other than Thanos, Ultron is the big baddie. Well, Ultron is the big baddie for the Avengers, even more than Thanos, really. Thanos is the big baddie for...
The Marvel Universe as a whole.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Which makes sense that they use Thanos. But Ultron was just kind of wasted. Ultron turned out to be another one-off villain. And so I like the movie,
but it's
disappointing. It might be my least favorite Marvel Universe movie, and I still like it. And so this movie had the potential to be even worse because, oh my God, I mean, there's so many storylines and how are they going to work this out? And Thanos is, you know, you're running the risk of, oh, the big baddie is CGI and blah, blah, blah. Although obviously it worked before with Red Skull. And there was tons of makeup and prosthetics and stuff, and you couldn't really see the actor, and it didn't really bother anybody.
I still think it should have been Kane, but that's okay.
But it absolutely works. I mean, this is a great movie. To me, it's not the best of the Marvel movies, but it's certainly up there, and it certainly pays off those 10 years of storylines. One of the biggest reasons, other than the script and the acting, because everyone's great, Thanos. And it's not just the performance. Josh Brolin is excellent in Thanos, but Thanos is a great villain in that he's not doing it because, ooh, I'm bad. Thanos is doing it like the best villains, like we were talking before about, excuse me, Michael B. Jordan, how he plays the character. Well, and again, the way it's written in Black Panther, he's the hero of his own story. The best villains, they're the heroes in their own stories.
Right.
They're doing the right thing. Thanos is doing the right thing. And they make it clear more than once in the movie that the reason, and if you don't know what Thanos wants to do, I don't know why you're listening to us because, you know, this is all over the place. He wants to restore balance to the universe. And the reason he wants to restore balance to the universe, and this part you may not know, but it's not exactly a huge spoiler, is that his home planet was devastated by overpopulation and overuse of resources and blah, blah, blah. And he had proposed to them as like, well, the way to do this is we get rid of half the population, which is a little bit overboard,
a bit extreme.
So they should have called him Malthus instead of Thanos. But they obviously didn't want to go with that. And again, not exactly a huge spoiler, his home planet was devastated by overuse of resources and overpopulation and blah, blah, blah. So since his home planet was destroyed by that, that's a formative idea for Thanos. So now he wants to save the universe by killing off half of it. So, again, not exactly a nice guy, but at the heart of his motivation, he sees it as he's going to save people. Most people don't like the concept of I'm going to save people by killing half of you, which is why there's some conflict in this movie.
Just a bit.
But he's not doing it to be bad. So it adds a lot of depth to the character. He's much more than, ooh, he's the big mean purple guy, which makes the movie work. There are a ton of things that make the movie work, including the usual Marvel tons of light moments that Marvel manages to put into every movie, including this movie, which is about the fight to save, well, I guess half the universe, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how many great light comedic moments are in this movie.
I think it helps that most of the characters are smart asses.
That does help too.
You know, if everybody's all, if you have your typical uptight hero who tries to make, you know, quips, yeah, and you kind of go, that doesn't work for that character.
Exactly. But it doesn't work
for this. It works for just about everybody.
Yeah. And you have Steve Rogers as the perennial straight man, he's got a sense of humor, but it's very different from the smart asses that pretty much surround him. And yeah, and he's a good character to play off. I'll just say in the trailers, everyone I'm sure by this point has seen the trailer where
it'd be hard not to.
Iron Man has his
How
plan.
How you have not then, seen the trailer if you're listening to us?
Exactly. So Tony Stark is talking about his plan, and then Peter Quill, one of the many wonderful team-ups, says, yeah, that's great, except it sucks. That's super funny sequence, and there's more to that sequence, obviously, which is even funnier. That's not even close to the funniest part with Peter Quill. He and Thor have a bit of rivalry, let's say. And you should know that he and Thor are working together at some point, because Thor got picked up by their ship at the end of the last movie. So
yeah,
Thor Ragnarok. So that's not exactly a spoiler either. But there are just tons of excellent team-ups that are kind of unexpected. There's a lot of rivalries that are, in some cases, well, they're all fun, but some are not quite as quippy and happy as others. For instance, Doctor Strange and Iron Man don't exactly see eye to eye for a lot of the film, which is pretty cool. And this is a very minor spoiler. Towards the end of the film, they also don't see eye to eye on something, which is a pretty important plot point.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, there's tons of action in this movie. Great dialogue, great acting. There are some surprises. I mean, if you don't know by now that some characters die, again, why are you listening to us? Some characters die, and in a lot of cases, it's not characters that you think die. You think some characters are going to die that don't. And there is a surprise pop-up of a character that I don't think many people expected would be in this film, and that was a nice moment, too. Although, it's not the right actor, and that made me kind of sad. And in a way, it doesn't matter, but to most people, it doesn't matter, but it mattered to me and made me kind of sad.
Actually, someone popping up that you weren't expecting, there was someone who did not pop up. And this actually is going to lead me to, I'm going to put it out as a theory.
Okay.
Concerning the Captain Marvel movie, mm-hmm, which is not out yet.
It is not out. Comes out next year.
My point, at the end of the Avengers, and this is the post-credit scene, and
indeed it is.
Maybe I'm spoiling it a bit for you, but the ending shows Nick Fury with his... With a thing where he's trying to call Captain Marvel. And this is something that bugs the crap out of me. If you have a galactic important thing like this going on, why isn't everybody there? I mean, I'm going to go to The Dark Knight Rises for a little while, where you had Bane, who took over Gotham City and made me wonder, where the hell is Superman and Flash and the Martian Manhunter and any of the Green Lanterns during this crisis that they could have easily stepped in and gone, oh, Bane, flick, done.
Well, they weren't introduced into that particular universe yet. And not, I know Superman
not,
was,
not
but...
the point. Not the point.
I know.
Not the point. But the... The Captain Marvel thing. So where is Captain Marvel during all this? My theory is that the Captain Marvel movie is going to end with her being put in some sort of cryostasis chamber thing. And Nick Fury is calling to release her from that.
Could be.
That's my theory. We'll find out next year, and then I'll replay this section of the show, and you'll go, oh, Rob was right. And it kind of makes sense, because otherwise, where the hell is she?
That is a nice moment. And by the way, if you have not seen the movie yet, you do have to sit until the very end. And there's only one post-credit scene. Sadness.
As opposed to the, usual. What was it? The Guardians of the Galaxy had six. Is that right? Or Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
I don't remember how many they had.
They had a lot.
Typically, there's two.
Yeah.
And this one, there's just one. And it's more dramatic than the usual thing. No one's sitting around and eating shawarma. Because a lot of people who are going to eat shawarma ain't there no more. So anyway.
They can only eat half a shawarma.
They can only eat half a shawarma. But yeah, it's a really good movie. It's a fun movie. And it's, to some extent, it's rather downbeat. It reminds me a lot of The Empire Strikes Back, which did not exactly have the happiest ending, and certainly ended on a huge cliffhanger. And I know some of the reviews are complaining that it ends on a cliffhanger, and it's like...
Did you not catch the part one, part two thing?
Yeah, exactly. You do realize that originally this was Infinity War part one and part two, and now they've changed the title for the second movie, but I was like, come on. It kind of had to end on a cliffhanger. There's no way it couldn't.
Yeah.
You should have known this for 2 or 3 years. Or if you followed the comics, you should have known this for, I don't know, when was it written?
90-something?
Yeah, 20-some years. So, yeah, you kind of should have understood the concept of this film.
Thing is, I think they also spoiled themselves a little bit. Because we know, for example, there is a Spider-Man movie coming out next year starring Tom Holland. Now, I'm not going to say whether Spider-Man lives and dies in this movie.
Right.
But we know that if he has a movie coming out after the next Infinity War movie,
Right. Now, there are some problems with the film, and it's because of that. Because if you separate the real world and what you know about what's going on, it works perfectly because it's like, but understanding that, there's a Spider-Man movie coming out. It's like, no matter what happens, if anything happens to Spider-Man in this movie, it don't matter because he'll be back. And you know Black Panther is going to come back because you don't throw away a $1.3 billion franchise. Can't happen. So regard that kind of, and it's an unfortunate thing of reality, but there's no way to fix that. I mean, that's just how the reality works. It's like people understand going into it that, they're going to make this movie. So
they're
in a way that
Guardians
lessens...
of the Galaxy 3, most of them should live.
That lessens the stakes of what happens here. Although at least in Guardians of the Galaxy, they have such a rotating roster that they certainly could kill off some characters in this and they ain't going to come back. That could happen. Not
and
likely.
Go back to the original Guardians of the Galaxy, which I would have... preferred to see the movie of, actually. I know everyone loves Star-Lord and Drax and Groot. I grew up with the Guardians of the Galaxy being Starhawk and Charlie 27. And yes, they did pop up in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, only they were... Okay, Starhawk was horribly miscast.
I was going to say, and they'll all be recast if they wind up doing that.
Because Thanos has the Reality Stone, and he's going to turn Peter Parker into Miles Morales, so Tom Holland gets killed in Infinity War. I'm kidding.
However, you never know what's going to happen. No. Which, by the way, and I'm sure you've seen the trailer for the Spider-Man movie that's coming out this Christmas.
Yep.
Animated flick.
That one. I was going to say there's two.
Briefly, the one with the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
That looks really good. I like this, the animation style. It's different, but different from what we're used to seeing in both DC and Marvel's animated universes. But I really like it. I like what appears to be the storyline, so I'm looking forward to that. Anyway.
Did you see the other Spider movie that's coming out soon? Being Venom. Which had a trailer leak.
And I have seen the second trailer, which makes a lot of people happy, because a lot of people, including you, were not happy with the first trailer.
Seeing as Venom,
because it didn't show any Venom
in it.
Exactly. But I can see why, because they probably hadn't even started the work on actually making Venom when they released that first trailer. So
I saw the trailer actually leaked online. Actually, it was a snippet of the trailer leaked, and everyone looked at it and went, ew, really? Why? And then the full version came out, and I suspect it came out early just to cover up that the little bit leaked. And everyone went, oh, that's where you're going with it. It doesn't really look much better, but it makes more sense. So, I don't know. I've never really been that interested in the character of Venom. I liked him when he was the Spider-Man costume. And if you don't know what that means, look up the Secret Wars, because that was fun.
Very fun.
But I am actually almost interested in seeing this movie, because they made it look very different than what I was expecting it to. It is, to my knowledge, not even really remotely close to the way they did it in the books. But at least they made it interesting, which helps.
From what I understand, there is some storyline that they're at least inspired by, as they say, based on true events. It looks really interesting. I like the use of Venom as an antihero, and it kind of, you almost kind of have to do that, because it's hard to make a movie about just a straight up villain. Right. The character's interesting. I'm much more interested in Tom Hardy playing the character, and Tom Hardy having dialogue with himself, because he does that a lot in movies, and he has very interesting arguments with himself. So I'm looking forward to Eddie Brock arguing with the symbiote. Looks like it's going to be fun. Hopefully. It will be.
That would be nice.
One more thing I wanted to mention about the Avengers movie, and this will kind of bleed into something you wanted to discuss, is Mr. James Cameron. He released a statement saying, quote, "I'm hoping we'll start getting Avenger fatigue here pretty soon. Not that I don't love the movies, it's just, come on, guys, there are other stories to tell besides hypergonadal males without families doing death-defying things for 2 hours and wrecking cities in the process. It's like, oi."
Did you not watch your Terminator movies?
I was going to say, James Cameron, there are other stories to tell other than, let's make the world a happier, better place.
With unobtainium.
Avatar, I liked Avatar a lot, but the reaction to it is like, oh my God, I've never seen anything like it. It's like, you've missed a lot of movies and you've missed a lot of books, haven't you? To me, it's too much of us like, damn it, why didn't I make another movie like this? It's like, it's not our fault that you made Avatar and then sat on your ass and didn't do anything for, 10 years now?
It's been about 10 years.
And he's got 4 sequels coming out. Yeah. So I don't really think it's a good look to come out and say, oh, I'm sick of this spectacularly popular, financially successful, critically praised series of films. It kind of looks like it's sour grapes, dude. And if anybody doesn't need to be jealous of someone else's success, it's the guy who came out with Aliens, Terminator, Avatar. I mean, you made some money. So I don't really get it. Yeah, it's just kind of an odd thing. I mean, I understand a little bit of it, you know, because he does a great job of promoting females as heroes and always has. Yeah. Which is a pretty cool thing. But,
it gets the Cinema Savant stamp of approval.
Marvel has kind of emphasized the fact that maybe a lot of the heroes don't have families, but they're creating their own families through the bond of their teamwork. They are families. So, in a way, Cameron's almost missing the point. It's just a stupid thing to say.
Well,
I really don't understand why he came out with that.
No, there's one. I'll go a little bit farther with that. He also said, concerning families, that he wants the Avatar sequels to to be an epic family saga. Now, yeah. A lot of people took that as, oh, they're going to be kid-friendly films. But he took it a little different direction. He says he wants to turn them into a Godfather-type storyline.
I was going to say, you know what's another family story is Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Doesn't exactly mean it's going to be kid-friendly.
Now, and how do you turn Avatar into the Godfather?
Yeah, that
I haven't figured that out yet.
Some particular family is going to control the unobtainium.
Mm. Could they be blue?
And another family is going to want it. I don't know. I mean, I'm looking forward to the next movies. I hope there's more depth to them, and I may like the Avatar, but I tell you one thing, I don't want Sam Worthington in it. It's like, this guy is in like so many movies, and he's just so...
Didn't they kill him in Avatar?
Blah and bland. I don't know. I hope so. I don't think they did.
I haven't seen it in so long. I've forgotten.
I don't think so. But he pops up in big movies every once in a while, and I mean, it's crazy that it's like he's one of the most successful box office stars of all time because he happened to be the mannequin that was the male lead in Avatar. Like,
yeah. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I got my actors fixed. No, Sam Worthington lived. Sorry.
Yeah. It's just ugh. I mean, it's not that he's bad. It's just he's so generic.
I'll agree. Yeah, I don't know where they're going with the Avatar thing. I do know, because I forgot to mention this, there was another Spider-Man bit. Because they mentioned that the I mentioned a couple weeks ago that they were filming in different cities around the planet for Spider-Man. And that threw me off as to why they would do that, because in my head, unless it's the Secret Wars storyline, Spider-Man doesn't leave, you know, New York. So why would he go global? And this occurred to me, and I want to bounce this off of you, see what you think. Because mm-hmm. they haven't announced who the villain is yet. I'm going to guess Kraven the Hunter. Lack of other villains that wander around the planet.
Well, Kraven would make a lot of sense, if particularly for that reason. And I would personally like Kraven the Hunter, although it's...
He's a bit obscure, but hey, so is Thanos, and look how that's done.
Well, he's one of the original villains, so yeah. And so now he's kind of obscure. The one thing I wonder about that is if they can pull it off, because he's so powered down from a lot of the villains they've had recently. I kind of wonder. I'm sure they can pull it off.
I'm sure they could.
But that's my only concern about that. But I really want to see Scorpion, and they've already teased Scorpion.
That is true, too.
I wouldn't mind seeing... Well, I don't want to see the Lizard, because I want them... There's a lot of other villains they have to do, but I would really like to see them do the Lizard correctly.
I would like to see Mysterio.
Mysterio would be great.
Not Rey Mysterio. That's different.
Rey Mysterio as Mysterio would be fantastic.
Actually, you know what? I'll take it. Go for it, guys.
He would be awesome. And Mysterio is an excellent villain. Kraven the Hunter is an excellent villain, and it absolutely fits with his concept of going around the world. Not that villains can't, like, jump on JetBlue or something and go in around here, but that would be very cool. That would be very cool. I don't want to see Doc Ock again.
No.
I mean,
please don't.
Great character, but it's been done, and it was done wonderfully well.
To me, Doc Ock was always... He wasn't a villain I ever cared about, even in the Spider-Man 2 movie. Didn't care. Spider-Man and Batman were the two main heroes I had growing up mm-hmm. that I followed. And each of them had a villain I did not care for. Doc Ock for Spider-Man, Penguin for Batman.
I had a feeling it was going to be Penguin. I had a feeling it was going to be the Penguin.
I just put the two of them in the same category. Could not care about either of them.
Now, Burgess Meredith as the Penguin, that's a different story. But, yeah, in the comics, it's like...
I didn't realize who that was until, I guess it was about 10 years ago, when I was watching that series again, and I went, who is that? That's Burgess Meredith? What the really?
That's some interesting actors.
Or when you find... and this is something to look for. If you go back and watch Ye Oldie Batman series... Because it's been remastered. It's out on Blu-ray now. And you can find out that Cesar Romero who played the Joker, still has his mustache on under the makeup.
Yep, he does.
Which I had never noticed because we didn't have high def when I was a kid.
which makes you laugh like the Joker, realizing the guy.
It really does. You go, put makeup on over
a mustache.
Over a mustache.
Like, okay, I'll play this character, but I ain't shaving. It's like, okay. Kind of crazy.
Very strange.
Very crazy. Very crazy indeed. Anyway.
Meanwhile, back at Marvel, I think the only other thing I've got for Marvel this week is that Luke Cage is coming back on June 22nd.
Ooh, that's a happy thing.
That's a happy thing. I liked Luke Cage. It was a good series.
It's a very, very good series. That's exceptional. And considering how well they did with the second season of Jessica Jones, I'm really looking forward to the second season of Luke Cage, because I did not like the second season of Jessica Jones as much as I liked the first season, only because the villain wasn't quite as cool, because to me, and we've talked about this, it's like, he's the best villain in the Marvel universe in its entirety, including all of the movies. I mean, there's just no topping. I mean, the way he was portrayed, but it's nice because he does pop up again in the second season anyway, even though he's dead. So,
the password is flashback.
kind of. But anyway, it was still a really great season, and I'm sure Luke Cage season 2 will be excellent as well.
You know, speaking of TV news, and I'm tying this in with movies because everything we have, I think, this week is a series, or they want to be a series.
Lethal Weapon
has a TV series, which I'll admit I have not watched because I
nor have I.
The concept and went, no, please don't. They're having some problems now because of one of the actors who is not doing things the way that people want. He's just, and it's not someone you can get rid of either. It's Clayne Crawford, who's playing Martin Riggs. That's one of the main characters. It's gotten to reportedly gotten to the point where actors and crew feel uncomfortable with him being on the set. Now, there has not been any specific allegations. It's not like we haven't heard that he's groping everybody, including Murtaugh, which would be weird in my head anyway. But yeah, if your main star makes everyone feel uncomfortable, and that's not good. They're talking about replacing him, and then they would go, no, that wouldn't work. So even though it's one of the top rated shows on Fox right now.
Is it really?
It which is weird, because I wouldn't have thought that it would be that good.
Well, it's probably just people holdovers from people watching Fox News.
That could be.
Just saying.
Anyway, there's talk that it might be canceled before the next season comes out. Who knows? We don't know yet. Something I would like to be canceled before it even gets started is other news of it's a Netflix animated series based on The Slow and Exhausted. No, that's what my wife calls it. Fast and Furious is getting an animated series on Netflix. And that's just wrong. I think it's wrong. You got comments on this? I think it's weird.
It's, yeah, I do think it's weird. Not really any. Go ahead.
It doesn't fit an animated universe. It's cars. Cars and talking. But apparently, what is it? Tom Hendrick, the guy who did Voltron, Legendary Defender, and Brett Halland, who did a TV series that I can't pronounce, who are supposedly really good, and Vin Diesel is going to be an executive producer, which means he sits in a chair and goes, yeah, go do stuff.
Yeah.
That's what executive producers do.
That is pretty weird. But, I mean, Disney made the movie Cars, and
different, though. The Cars spoke and say,
I don't know,
it's kind of like Thomas the Tank Engine, you know, if the engines talk to each other, that's a different, you know, George Carlin was the conductor on that for a while.
I was not aware of that.
I would never have put George Carlin in a kids series, but hey, there you go.
Must have been a strange trip.
Just a bit, I would think. But speaking of series that should not exist, and hopefully we're just going to gloss over this one, Paramount announced a series of movies that they're going to come out with, including the Micronauts movie, so yay for that. Boo for this concept. It's a live-action movie of SpongeBob.
Okay.
I don't know how that would work. I don't care how that would work. Don't do it. That just... Ew. No. Bad idea. Moving on to the other thing that Paramount came out with. They said there's two Star Trek films coming. Which, Star Trek, I'm good with. I like that. The first one, they said that they're probably... It's not going to be the Quentin Tarantino one. It's going to be allegedly directed by British director S.J. Clarkson, which would make her the first woman to direct a Star Trek film.
Cool.
And to let you know, S.J. Clarkson is, and I looked this up, not related to Jeremy Clarkson, which is disappointing because I was really hoping to have this one scene where Sulu is power sliding the Enterprise while explaining how there's no room in the cargo bay. I think that would have been awesome just to have as a snippet. But you know what? And there's actually no word yet on to whether it's going to be the alternate universe that J.J. Abrams came up with the last three movies, or if they're going to go back and finally make a DS9 movie. Hint.
Not going to happen.
I know.
Sorry.
DS9 ended on a cliffhanger, damn it. Finish the story. What happened to Sisko? Let me in on it. But yeah, looking forward to Star Trek. Something I'm not real sure how this is going to work, and I want to get your input on this. Fox announced that they're going to make a series of at least one movie, possibly a series of movies. See, I told you, everything is a series.
Everything is a series, including us.
Including us. Fox is going to make at least one movie based on the Choose Your Own Adventure books that were really popular back in the late 70s, mid 80s. I remember them in elementary school, which were a nifty concept. And if you don't know what that is, you start reading the book and you read like three pages of a story, and then it says, you can go left or right, or, you know, some kind of a choice. If you pick option A, turn to page 5. If you option B, page 8. And you go through the whole book that way, and you flip back and forth through the book, making your own story, kind of, which I think is a cool concept.
It is.
Now, if you make this as a movie, you know, for a home theater where you've got the remote and can go, I'm going to go left, click, I get that. They want to do this in a theater. And I don't know how you would do that. Because, you know, you're going to have more than... I suspect people in the movie, half of them are going to go, we're going to go right. And the other half, we're going to go left. They're not going to split screen it and show you both.
No, they won't. Majority vote wins. And then they'll probably just have some default setting. It's a tie, we're screwed. Or they're lying and there really is no choice. And because how would you know unless you like pull everybody in the theater afterwards and say, did you say left? It's like, no, I said right. It's like, son of a bitch, they lied. And you wouldn't know anyway, because you don't know what the alternate would be. So it's probably just a bunch of BS.
Well, they're talking about how the problem with it that they're coming up with is the runtime. Because of if you choose different things, it's not always going to necessarily be the same length of time to make the movie.
Right. Although, if they were smart, it would be. because you could have each, no matter what happens, each scene is a set time. Each scene is like, say, 10 minutes. So it doesn't matter whether you go left or right. If you go left, it's a 10-minute scene. If you go right, it's a 10-minute scene.
That's one way they could go with it.
That would be about the only way they could fix the runtime issue. And it wouldn't have to be exact, but it would certainly help with scheduling. But, I mean, there's downtime in between the theaters when they're not showing trailers, when they're not showing ads. So, I mean, as long as they keep it close, it would work. And most movies are digitally, not most, but a lot of them are digitally streamed at this point. I mean, it can work. True. Technologically, yeah, it can work. I mean, I don't know if they would have, you know, say have a free app, because then you'd have everyone's phone on, which would be a pain in the ass. So I don't really see them doing that way. I would think they would have to give you some kind of a control to work. I mean, the concept, yeah, it can work, and it's interesting.
There's a lot of logistics.
It's a lot of logistics, and there's also a lot of extra writing to do, and frankly, there aren't enough good movies right now with a coherent plot, let alone getting someone to write. Yeah, what? How many possibilities would you wind up with? I mean, you'd have to write...
If the books are any indication... there ended up being quite a few.
Let's say there's 8 choices throughout the film. So you're going to have to write 16 scenes instead of 8. That's a lot of extra writing that, yeah, in some cases, and performance and directing, and seems to be really an expensive proposition for what probably wouldn't really work out that well in a lot of cases. I don't know. I'm not against it, but yeah, there's a lot of problems to overcome with that. Cool concept.
We'll see how you pull it off.
Would certainly work better for home than the movie theater, but interesting.
Let's see. There's also coming to theaters June 11th, and this is just select theaters, which is sad. A remastered version of the Doctor Who series, Genesis of the Daleks, which is I think it's 6 Tom Baker episodes. Telling us where the Daleks, where the Big Bad in the Doctor Who universe came from. Which, I remember those. Watched them not too long ago. Because I have them at home. Not the 4K remastered version that the theater is getting. But that would be neat to see in a theater, I think. Even with the 70s special effects.
I wonder what the quality is going to look like.
I have seen a trailer for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality, it's beautifully redone.
Interesting.
Although they did not show the Daleks shooting anybody, which was always a... If you've never seen it, the Daleks had a kind of a laser kind of thing that would shoot somebody, anybody, good guys or bad guys. They're Daleks. They don't care. And the special effect of when it hit somebody was inverting the image of that person for a brief second before they disintegrated, which was kind of, I mean, at the time it was a beautiful effect. Now you kind of go, oh, that's what they did. Cause we've gotten, it's a special effect. We've gotten used to seeing. So,
yeah.
Anyway, there's that, something that is not coming, according to Kevin Bacon, is the Tremors TV series, where they allegedly filmed the pilot and the Sci-Fi Channel looked at it and went, yeah, no thanks. So
the Sci-Fi Channel said no thanks?
The Sci-Fi Channel said
no thanks. The home of Sharknado said no thanks to something?
I believe they're also airing Atlantic Rim. Oh my God, they passed on Tremors for Atlantic Rim.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe it's actually good. Maybe it's too good. Maybe that's the issue.
Oh, yeah, it'll be on NBC this fall. I'm kidding.
I'm just shocked that they passed on something, anything.
But, it seems like they'll play just about anything these days.
Oh my God. I mean, Mansquito, right? I mean, that's strange.
Wait, seriously? That's a thing?
Oh yeah.
Oh boy.
That's from what, 15 years ago, something like that. When they were just putting up tons of horrible, terrible sci-fi horror flicks. And they didn't have anything good on the Sci-Fi Channel at all. Yeah, this guy turned into a giant mosquito.
I remember trying really hard to get the Sci-Fi Channel in my area when it first started up because they showed Doctor Who.
Yeah.
The old ones. And I fought with the cable company and fought with them and fought with them and got petitions because, damn it, I wanted my Doctor Who because, you know, they didn't have it anywhere else at the time, back in the early 90s. And they finally went, fine, here. And that was the last week they showed Doctor Who episodes.
Of course. Of course.
But you...
Yes, yes.
Thing I can't say on this show.
No, you probably can.
I could. But speaking of strange horror things, you saw another movie recently that we were going to talk about with Lee, who, if you haven't noticed by now, isn't on the show because he has a date with a girl or something. I don't know.
Something like that.
Movie called The Quiet Place.
Yeah, A Quiet Place. It's I actually talked about it a couple of weeks ago briefly. One thing I didn't mention, though, that one of the, super excellent suspense film slash horror film slash drama.
And it might be a series. They're talking about making a sequel.
Oh, they're definitely going to make a sequel because it's made a ton of money and it's critically successful. And obviously audiences like it. So why would you not make a sequel? Really, really good film. Basically, something bad has happened. We've been invaded, whether it's from wherever. Monsters have come and they've decimated society, probably more than decimated, because I don't think there are even anywhere close to 10% of the people left. John Krasinski, Emily Blunt, real life man and wife. They play the patriarch and matriarch of a family.
So and you're gonna say man and woman. I'm like, well, yeah.
Yeah, that too. They they are trying to help their little family survive this crisis. And the crisis is these monsters have invaded, and they hunt. They're blind, but they hunt by sound, and they have really, really good hearing. So you have to be quiet. Much of the film is a silent movie. There's sound, there's music, not a lot of music even, but there's hardly any dialogue. There's a lot of signing going on. One of the cool things is the actress who plays their daughter is actually deaf. John Krasinski pushed really hard to have her cast, and she's a very good actress. She was actually in Wonder Wheel, I believe is the name of the film. Really good, you know, young actress. tragedy strikes pretty early in the film, which is kind of a shocking thing. So you know the stakes are kind of high because you usually don't see this kind of event happen in movies, period. So that was good. It let you know that, well, you don't really know for sure what's going to happen in this movie because typically, oh, the family will be okay. Well, you don't know from that point on. And like I said, that happens early. Very good suspense. Excellent acting, especially considering that there's not a lot of dialogue. There is at some point because they do have kind of a soundproof room. And that's one of the some people say, well, if they have a soundproof room, why don't they soundproof their house? It's like, well, probably because that room was more naturally quiet. And how are you going to build a soundproof room silently? Kind of hard to do any kind of construction. Yes.
I've worked in recording studios, and soundproof rooms are not as soundproof as people would like them to believe they are.
No. But it's a great movie, great suspense. And generally, you know, some people say, well, it's not really scary. And it's, like I said, it's typically kind of defined as a horror movie. I would say it's more of a suspense film with monsters, which is different. The monsters themselves are pretty cool. There are a couple of very good plot twists. There are a couple things that you don't think are going to happen that happen, which is very nice in a film because you don't want to be predictable. Some things are kind of predictable, and that's okay. But the acting is tremendous. The script is great. The direction is really good, and it's cool to see John Krasinski turn out a movie like this. I actually went back and watched his first film that he directed, Brief Interviews with Hideous Men. And it's a pretty good movie, and it's available on whatever streaming service you want, probably. But super good movie, and they absolutely should do a sequel because it doesn't end in a cliffhanger like Infinity Wars does, but it definitely ends in a place where you can go on, and it doesn't have to have another movie. It doesn't end that way, but it's certainly open to do a follow-up on that. And the follow-up, honestly, I would rather see them do a trilogy, and I would like to see a prequel to what happened, how this event happened, because when it opens, it's already over for civilization, basically. So I'd like to see the story of how that happened and then jump into the last thing and see how things continued from there. But because that way, it'd just be interesting to see how this all went down and why this particular family managed to survive when so many didn't. So very, very cool movie. Highly recommended. Actually, I think it's probably better than Infinity War. And I really liked Infinity War.
Uh-oh.
Very different kind of movie, obviously.
Well, yeah.
Which?
Different genre.
I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but John Krasinski has a tie to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He actually went to audition for the role of Captain America. And he shows up, and apparently Chris Hemsworth for Thor. And he thought, nope. I am not that buff, and he said it was not the role for him. So, which sounds very much like the character of Jim from The Office, which apparently is a lot of how John Krasinski is in real life. So, and of course, now he has gotten a little more buff because he had some action roles and stuff. But it's nice to know your limits.
Playing Jack Ryan in the TV series,
yeah, which I'm really looking forward to, which I think will be very, very good. So. Hopefully it will be.
Actually, another TV series, just to mention it, because I accidentally finished it. I didn't realize it was... I thought there were 13 episodes and there are 10. Oops. Finished Lost in Space this week.
And was the payoff worth it?
It ended on a cliffhanger.
Oh, shocking.
Well...
it's cliffhanger week.
That's not what surprised me. It's that... Like I said, I thought there were 13 episodes. Mm-hmm. So the end of episode 10, cliffhanger. All right. Episode 11. There's no episode 11.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, you bastards.
So now you have to wait to see. I'm pretty sure they've probably already renewed it.
They're already writing series 2, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I did finish the series. I still don't like any of the characters.
You see,
I'm liking the story.
Yeah, we talked about that, and... It's, I guess I shouldn't say to me they're all unlikable. It's not to me that it's not that they're unlikable. It's just that they're not interesting, which is even worse, really.
I think the closest we get is Don West, who is not the military guy from the TV series. He's a smuggler with a chicken. There's a character I liked was the chicken.
Don West is a fun character. He's not exactly memorable, but the only character I'm remotely interested in is Dr. Smith. I think it's cool, and which figures, because that was really the only good character in the first series. But when they had the sequence, and I think this is episode 5 maybe, when they create the beacon, so
right.
And then this giant monster shows up. And I
run.
Mm. Yeah, I messaged this to you. It's like that he has to tell them to run because they're too stupid to understand. Maybe you should run away when there's danger. It's like I turned it off. I said, you know what? I am done with this show because if your writing is that bad, and there was something else, I didn't turn it off immediately because there was something else that happened, which is also incredibly stupid. Like, nope. Oh, yes. Because the robot comes back. And to fight the monster, and there were two monsters that showed up, and so the robot is not fighting the monsters. He just came back to save them, but he's not fighting the monsters. And Will has to tell him to be bad because he won't defend himself unless he's evil. It's like, that's such a lazy reveal to say, oh my, he can be the bad robot. It's like, really? You couldn't think of a better way to have that happen instead of it's like, no, you got to be bad. It's like, well, he can't defend himself, even though he did earlier in the damn series.
The robot does add 3 words to its vocabulary by the end of the series. So.
Yeah, I wish it was, oh, hell no. yeah, so I was done with the series after that, regardless of the fact that I like the way they're writing Dr. Smith. It's like, oh, my
God. But they were all scientists going, ooh, monster. Haven't seen one of those.
Yeah.
Perhaps I can study it in a laboratory. So, no, run. Oh, right, monster kills. Right, run away.
Yeah, it's just... I mean, there have been lots of bad writing in the series before that, but at that point, it's like, nope, I'm done with it. So if they would do a Dr. Smith series next and just kill off the family and maybe hire new writers, I'm down with that. That would be cool. But no thanks. Which is kind of bad of me, because the original series was, talk about
cheese.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Wisconsin.
Uh-huh. For sure. Not exactly the greatest writing.
I didn't
ever.
Remember it being, I remembered bits and pieces of it. And then I show, so I was watching it with the new series with my daughter. She said, what is the old series like? And I found some clips on YouTube.
Oh, it's over the top stupid.
And I did not remember it being that. I remember Dr. Smith being very effeminate, I'll go with.
Yes.
And thinking, you know, when I was watching it at 6 years old, going, what? We'll okay.
See. Well, see, there's a weird thing that happened with that series. When it first came out, it was black and white.
Right.
And then it went to color in the ensuing years that it was on, which I think was only like three. It was more of a straight sci-fi action drama, and it centered more on the family. And Jonathan Harris, who played Dr. Smith, who was rather flamboyant because he was a flamboyant person, he was kind of bored with the script, so he would ad-lib things, and the director was, oh, that's cool, he'd keep it in. So he was gradually turning it into a more comedic thing, and they would get fan mail and said, oh my God, this character's great. So they went more and more campy as they went along. When they came back the next season, they went full bore stupid, crazy, silly, because that's what the audience was responding to. I mean, oh, let's see, should we do the things that they don't like, or should we do what they like? So they went with what they liked. And so it turned into this incredibly silly thing, and they had very horrible costumes and special effects because they didn't have much of a budget.
Because it was the 60s.
Yeah, and they just amped it up and made it even more silly. Basically, you would have like characters wearing a shag carpet practically, and that was, you know, that was the monster of the week kind of thing. Very weird. They had a space devil, and he was the devil, but he was in space. And he and Smith, Smith betrayed the family, because he did every single week. He would betray them for some gain, and of course they would always forgive him, which was incredibly stupid, because in reality they wouldn't do that. They would just get rid of him, because why would you keep someone who's eating up some of your resources, who constantly tries to get you killed? Like, it wouldn't happen. But, you know, it's more of a kid's show. I mean, that's what it basically turned into. So they kept it. Yeah, super cheesy, and it got more cheesy as it went along. So, yeah, it's not exactly a good show in the original one, so it's kind of maybe
not the greatest TV program of all time.
So it's kind of bad of me to say, it's like, yeah, I'm not going to watch this because it's really bad, but it's not campy and it's not fun. And I think that's the difference.
Well, let's see where to go next. How about trailers? Have we done trailers yet?
We ain't done no trailers yet.
Have you seen the trailer for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom?
I have seen lots of trailers for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I saw one that just came out.
I almost like the premise of weapon of someone going, we'll take the dinosaurs and weaponize them. And then I saw this trailer and went, really? So I don't know. What are your thoughts? I'm kind of,
yeah, it looks like it'll be
thinking,
fun.
Ooh, rental.
I mean, it looks like it'll be fun. I mean, they've gone, again, they're pushing forward with, it's like, oh, well, you know, since we're playing with DNA, let's remix this again and create a new super thing. There are some cool sequences, though. One of the trailers, both trailers, I think I've seen three trailers, two of them have a scene where people are surfing on this huge wave.
Oh, and that was good.
Yeah, excellent. So if there is a lot of moments like that, a Mosasaurus, which is the giant dinosaur killer, basically, is underneath that wave. And about to possibly have a few snacks. Yeah, of course, Chris Pratt's in it, and Chris Pratt's excellent, and he has some fine, funny Chris Pratt-ish lines in the trailer, the second trailer that came out with. So it looks like it'll be fun. So, yeah.
The other trailer that hit me this week was one for a movie called Kin. And I think this is the only thing that is not a series or even talked about so far that we've talked about in this show. And it's the first original, not based on anything that I am aware of, movie that I have been interested in some time. basically, it's a kid accidentally witnesses the killing of somebody. Could be an alien, might not be, don't really know, because I haven't seen the movie yet. It's just a trailer. And he ends up with this super futuristic rifle. And how he tries to fix his life because there's a lot of things going on. There's gangs and his brother is tied into some kind of crime syndicate thing. And he tries to fix all of it with this super futuristic weapon.
Hmm.
Until the people who own the weapon want it back. And I know there's been movies like that before. I haven't seen one quite like this in the way it's set up. It looks good and fun. And I'm interested in seeing it, which is something I don't... A lot of, you know, the newer... This is a new and original storyline, and it's not based on anything. And I go, well, it should have been, because it looked crap. This actually looks really good.
It does. So this sounds good. I haven't seen the trailer, but I have it pulled up, so I can watch it after the show. But it does. It sounds like a nice, interesting, cool premise, which is nice. And James Franco is in it, and he plays a bad guy. Fun.
Actually, something else that sounds fun, and you sent me this, and I would really like to be in Japan in 2022.
No kidding, yeah.
When they open the Studio Ghibli theme park.
Now that's going to be the real magical place.
I want that. They're talking about rides based on Totoro and Spirited Away. Howl's Moving Castle landscapes and stuff. I did notice a misspelled Princess Mononoke in the storyline. That's okay. I don't care. What would a Princess Mononoke ride be like, though?
It would be like hell.
That would be a horror. I mean horrific as in bad. I mean horrific as in scare the crap out of you ride.
Yeah, you'd be riding through a thicket, people shooting arrows at you. But you get to ride a giant wolf. That would be fun.
That would, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
What exactly. And if it sounds like Gillian Anderson. I mean,
yeah. Either that or they have you work in a foundry. That would be fun, too. Yeah, I'm not sure how that ride would work. But that section of the park would be awesome. The whole park would be incredible.
I would love to be there for that. Maybe I will be. We'll find out. I'll get back to you in 2022. Even though there's a lot of stuff that we had this week, even after the Avengers stuff, I have now run out of things. And we normally close the show with the greatest TV program of all time this week. Unfortunately, it was Lee's turn.
That,
and he's not here.
That dang Lee.
Put him in the opening credits, misses two of the next four shows. That's okay.
Since we mentioned Studio Ghibli, I want to mention, of course, their festival is going on. They're a year long. I think this is the third year now that they've done the festival where they show one of their films once a month at your local Happy Theater. The next one coming up is Porco Rosso with the guy who turns into a pig and he's a pilot. Or he is a pig and he's a pilot.
No, he turns into a pig. He started. I watched that one.
I remember he
started out as a human, but they never explain why he turned into a pig.
Maybe it's the Me Too movement before it happened. But the awesome stuff, not that that's not good, and then Pompoko comes after that, but Princess Mononoke, speaking of, will be in July. Grave of the Fireflies, which is an awesome movie, and you really need to think if you want to take the kids to that movie because it's not the happiest movie ever. That's in August. Right. My Neighbor Totoro in September. Spirited Away in October. So, got some awesome movies coming out. So, probably three of the best kids movies of all time are going to be playing this summer and fall.
Hopefully at a theater near you.
Hopefully. So, keep your eyes peeled for that. At Regal Cinemas, actually. So, there you go.
Yeah. In the meantime, I guess we'll just be back next week, maybe with Lee. Maybe his girlfriend will come. Who knows?
Maybe. It's one of those. But he'll get to talk about the Avengers, and hopefully she will, too.
Yeah. So we'll see you next week.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.